Welcome to Crossroads this morning. Good to see everybody. I was a defenseman when I played hockey for years growing up as a kid, from like grade 1 to grade 6. I played what in Ontario then was called AAA hockey. That's right, I was AAA. Thank you. And my function as a defenseman, of course, was to... One of the best parts about being a defenseman, of course, is letting forwards who have dumped in the puck go slightly ahead of you so that you can target them to crush them. I wasn't a Mennonite at that point in my life. So. I was a Catholic, and we could hit people. It was great. So that was one of the things I did, being a defenseman. One of the things I did also... And I did do this, was the end-to-end rush, taking it out of my zone into the other zone. And what I could never really do for that time that I played hockey is I didn't really shoot well. I wasn't that defenseman that you gave the puck to at the point for the one-timer to wind up and crush it. That wasn't me. I was more like, please don't give me the puck. I can't shoot, but I can skate and I can move the puck well. And I was that defenseman who would just lay it up for the tap in. So I got assists, not a lot of goals. There was a goal that probably went off of my back or something like that. So that's what I did as a defenseman, and to get the puck safely out of the zone, right? That's really hit people coming into your zone, get puck out of the zone safely. That's pretty much the job description of a defenseman. That's who I was. Who we are informs what we do, right? I'm a defenseman, so I do these things. I'm a student, so I go to school. I am a parent, so I function part-time as an adult, like that kind of thing. Who are you in that mix of things as you think about who you are and how you define yourself? Who are you? Last week, we asked it this way, and we had a picture to help us understand it. Where are you at in your relationship with God? So if I can get that picture up, Patty, that's the one. Thank you. I should tell you, okay, in a portable church like ours that makes its worship presence here on Sunday mornings instead of just being set up all the time, we periodically have challenges with things, and it's been a long time since we've had a challenge, but this morning we only had the projector up and running 15 minutes before the service, which if you're like me, a person who likes to have things sort of like mapped out and know that things are going to happen properly, I'm like, okay, clearly this is a morning for prayer. And to thank you, Patty, I said this to you personally, but our operator this morning is Patty Martins. So Patty's like, well, I can only do what I can do, Rob. Like, that's so true. Is part of what you can do fixing this? And then Ron came in and helped us out. So would you help me thank Ron and Patty this morning just for persevering and getting through? I want you to know I prayed because I'm a pastor, and that's why it all came together. So this, of course, last week was our homework, right? To have some discussion with someone about where you're at in your relationship with God. And I think the question was something like this. If the water represented God and you are in the pool area on the deck or otherwise, how would you characterize yourself in relationship to the water? Like, where are you at in your relationship? So I hope that in asking yourself that question and talking to others about that question, that you had taken some next steps this past week towards diving in deeper from wherever you saw yourself there to maybe moving closer to the pool or diving in or staying in. Or if we look at it positively, maybe you got out of the water and you were missional in your life this week. You had talked to people about Jesus. You try to articulate the gospel in some way. You had done something that was overtly Christ-like for people. Those kinds of things. I would argue that there's no more important relationship in your life than your relationship with Jesus Christ. Hands down. Someone said to me this morning, actually, about their marriage, that since I have this better, deeper, clearer understanding of who Jesus is and how God loves me through him, I love my wife better. Our arguments are less escalated. We're actually, we're hearing each other because I know I'm loved. So I don't have to put all the burden of being loved on the humans that I do life with. It's really cool. It's the way it should be. That relationship, is that a hand up? I'll take this question. Give me a minute. Yeah, sir. Thank you for that. So your comment this morning, that's actually true. There's one guy drowning in the deep end, and the lifeguard doesn't seem to be too, you know, bothered with that. Thank you. Takes the eyes of a teenager to point that out. So give your relationship with Jesus the time it deserves. Let that relationship anchor your entire life. Move it along from one day to the next. No one's expecting perfection. Certainly our Lord, who loves you enough to remake you and all of humanity, if we would just say yes to that, doesn't expect perfection. He has died for all of our sins for all time. That is a done deal. Sign up if you haven't. Working with the Spirit of God to improve your relationship just a wee little bit from one day to the next. It'll serve you well, but will have this wonderful ripple effect out to the rest of the people you spend time with. So how might we do this? That is the focus of our teaching this morning. How would we become better versions of who we are in Christ? So we're going to consider two ideas. The first is this. It's called rule of life. I talked about it as a sort of trailer to this teaching last Sunday, and so here it is. Not to disappoint you, we're going to talk about that this morning. This summer, I had the time to read two books by author Ken Shigematsu, and I love saying that last name. I would not want to be at a dinner party with Ken, and I'd say, hi, and he'd say, oh, I'm Ken Shigematsu, and I'd have to say, I'm Rob Air. Like, what? Really? Shigematsu. I love it. It's fantastic. Oh, Sherry. That's beautiful. I read his first book second and his second book first, and there's absolutely no reason for you to need to know that, and it was just really fun to say. His second book, Survival Guide for the Soul, warmed me up, though, to the idea of sacred rhythms or spiritual disciplines, we might call them otherwise, for my life. Things like prayer walking, sacred reading, keeping a Sabbath, the prayer of Examen, which we'll talk about shortly, and service. So ironically, that reading set me up for his first book called God in My Everything, an award-winning book, actually, which talked about a great many things, for sure, but mostly it talked about one thing, the rule of life. Now, when we hear the word rule, many of us tend to go, oh, like somehow rules restrict life and freedom. But understood correctly, rules do exactly the opposite. It turns out that the Greek word for the word rule is trellis. I borrowed this from my friend Stan Bamman because I was too cheap to go buy a $1.99 trellis at one of our local stores. So thank you, Stan. This sermon in part is sponsored by CBC, Columbia Bible College, your university. What does a trellis do? Not this one. What does a real trellis do? What does a trellis do? Yeah, it helps the plant do what? to grow straight. It is supported by the trellis so that it will grow. Okay, so not a bad metaphor, right? Trellis. If we trellis our life, if we have certain rule for life, spiritual rules that will support our spiritual growth. That's the metaphor. Ken talks about the rule of life as an ecosystem to support a number of spiritual disciplines so that we might enjoy God and draw closer to Jesus in our everyday busy lives and not just Sunday. He says on page 24 of that text, and this is a quote, Patty, if you have it, I don't know if I put it there for you. In order to thrive in our life with God, we need a spiritual ecosystem that includes deliberate practice. Spiritual practices, of course. Like anything else, right? We study for exams. We loathe exams, but we study for them. We practice for game time. You don't just practice to not play. And we rehearse for opening nights. We make a practice of spiritual disciplines, or what I actually prefer to call spiritual rhythms or sacred rhythms, upon the support of a spiritual trellis to know God better, to enjoy Jesus more, and to participate with the Spirit of God more readily. If these are in place, those things will come. Otherwise, busyness will run our lives instead of us running our lives. Knowing and planning what to say yes to by having this trellis, this rule of life in place, will help us to say no to other things. We will talk about this, by the way, at men's ministry in week 3, because it is the heart of what we were trying to get at when we talked about balance this summer on retreat. That was a good point. Did you like that point? Okay. Hey, did you know that the Chinese character for the word busy combines the pictographs of the heart and death? Did you know that? The pictograph combines the characters of heart and death for the word busyness. What do you think that's trying to tell us? Perhaps that busyness leads to the death of our hearts, and we know this is true, actually. We know this is true. Rule of life is an ancient monastic practice, a practice of regular interruption in the day to spend time with God, like we would imagine a bell ringing in the monastery 5 times a day, that kind of deal. Now, we might say, who's got time to be interrupted 5 times a day? Well, you probably easily go to the washroom that many times, for instance. But that's a fair question. And who uses bells, right? Few of us, some of us may choose a monastic life, but to my knowledge, none of us has to this point. So in lieu of this, Ken and I suggest that we consider a spiritual life trellised by 4 R words, okay? And they are as follows. Roots, we'll talk about these in a moment. Relate, restore, and reach out. Each one of these R words has 3 practices attached to it for a total of 12 sacred rhythms in all. So under roots, there are the practices of Sabbath, so of rest and restoration, prayer, and Bible reading. Under relate, we have friendship and sexuality and family. And then the 3rd R, under restore, we have body and play and money. And then under the 4th, we have reaching out, which is relating to work and justice and witness. Okay, Rob's rule of life this summer as part of my reading and application. Because, folks, if we're going to learn things and don't apply them, that is not learning. If we come here week in, week out, and we don't apply what we're having a sense of the Spirit asking us to do, then we are not learning. We are hearing, maybe, but we're not learning. So let's apply. I was delighted to make this application because, like many of the men in our church, I lacked balance in my life. So, here's some of the highlights from mine. I won't get too personal, and it's way more expansive than this, but it will hopefully help you begin to imagine what yours might look like. So under roots, what do I have here? Okay, yeah, Rob's Rule of Life, roots, Sabbath, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. So think of your year as that every year there should be a time where you get to do something where your heart is restored in relationship with Christ, but also is just restful and restorative. It's something you get to do, not what you have to do. Do this daily, weekly, monthly, and of course yearly. And of course, as you laughed as it came up, I discovered in my home, it's a three-story strata, I actually have a porch on the second story. It's been there for years, but I only recently discovered it. So what I have found super restful for me, so it can be something else for you, right? It can be a hike, it can be bike riding, it can be going to the gym. I hear people do that. And like, it could be whatever you might find that connects you and gives you quiet and maybe time to pause and pray and think and restore, where something isn't depending on you to get done, where you can just... Yeah, I sit in the back porch now, and I try to give myself a half-hour day of reading. And it might be fiction, it might be nonfiction. Right now I'm reading a book by N.T. Wright about the gospel, which I'm finding fascinating. But it always includes my little Bluetooth speaker with some music in the background and absolutely a Diet Coke in that mug, because I don't drink coffee, but give me the caffeine and Diet Coke, and I'm ready to go. That's one of those practices. Okay, so Lectio. Okay. Lectio Divina, if you ever want to sound smart before a group of people, you just say something in Latin, and people are like, oh my goodness, he's so brilliant. Lectio Divina, Latin for? You can tell me what it is. You know it. What is Lectio? Divina. Let's start. What's Divina? Divine, right. Yeah, good guess, right? Lectio. What is it? Lection. So words. Come on, Danny, help me out here. Reading. This is divine reading. So you want to say to somebody, well, I'm in the spiritual rhythm of Lectio Divina. They're like, wow, I could never do that. Actually, you can. Right? So what does that look like in my life? Right now, it includes reading from 8:30 to 9 in my office. Now, this is very different than me prepping a sermon. Way different, actually. This is what my friend Peter Vincent would call jam time, Jesus and me time. This is just... hey, what do you want to talk about today, Jesus? What do you want me to learn about you that maybe I've never seen before? I just want to spend time with you. That's what it is for me. That's very restorative. Do you know how hard it is to read this beautiful text as a pastor and not be thinking, oh, that's teachable. I'll bring that up on Sunday. But I adore Jesus. I legitimately do. And to make time for these relationships, it can't just be with that end in mind for me. It's got to be, yeah, I just want to spend time with you, Jesus. So it looks like that for me. Prayer, there's a couple things there. What did I say? At the end of it's not the lection, it should be Lectio. That's shame on me. That's my bad, not yours, by the way. So the prayer of Examen, really cool. Again, Latin. Examining prayer. This is an Ignatian practice, one of our church fathers, and essentially what it is to, at the end of your day, review your day as if it's a movie and spot in your day two things. Consolations is the word that Ignatius would have used, or desolations. What we would say to sort of translate those, anything that was joyful and anything that includes suffering. So at the end of your day, you rewind your day. And you say, I am, oh, it's, what? That's not distracting at all. At the end of my day, I'll sit down and I'll, that's the prayer. Father, let's talk about our day together. And what are some of the high points? What can I give thanks for? In fact, what I've done is what Ann Voskamp did that ended up being a book. I've taken, so you can hold me accountable to this, and I've been doing it for over a month now. Nightly, I am producing at least three things I'm thankful for, and I'm listing them somewhere, so that by the end of the year, I will have over 1,000 thank yous to go to. It was without dispute that if you live a thankful life, it'll go much better for you. It changes your attitude and your perspective. If you're looking for those points in your day where you would have these encounters with God that are joy-filled, you're going to be looking for them through the day, first of all. And at the end of the day, you're going to go to... You can do this in the morning. It doesn't really matter. I happen to do it at night. I think it's better at night. But I'll leave that to you to decide. So that's part of the roots piece. Relate. Let's go there. Okay, so there we go. Anim caro is another Latin word for friendship, but it implies way more than just, hey, you want to go watch a hockey game together? Nope. It means, hey, what are your current joys? What are your current sorrows? How can I join you in praying about those? It is the prayer of Examen shared. It is deep spiritual friendship. It is accountability and encouragement. You said you were going to do this. How did that go? I didn't do it. Why didn't you do it? What's going on there? No judgment, just curiosity. If you don't have at least one, preferably two or three people like this in your life, do not expect it to happen sort of naturally. You have to go find it. And you have to be convinced it's worth it. I have one friend, I can call at 3 in the morning, and I'm meeting with a cluster of three other men every month. And that right now is what I need out of these men in my life. There's four I can tell anything to. If they were to say anything about my life, it would be crushing. But really cool guys. Sexuality. So if you're a student, that means one thing. If you're an adult, it means another thing. If you're a student, you begin to wonder what dating should look like, who I should date, why I should date, how far I'm going to go. All that needs to be there in terms of boundaries. But also, more important than that, because that's sort of fear-driven, I would encourage you to talk about what sexuality means in the Bible, why it's there. It's there. It's talked about quite a bit. It's a beautiful thing. It's a sacred thing. I know that for me, as an adult, married now 27 blessed years to Jackie, it means boundaries of a different sort, like I do not get into a car with another woman whose name is not Jackie Air, right? It's basic. And you're free to call me on it. And you know what? I did do that years ago. It was a friend we've known for years, Jackie and I, who you'd know, actually. And someone called me out in this congregation. I said, that's fair. That's good. You know what? I shouldn't be. That I shouldn't be. I choose to protect my marriage with this particular boundary in place. That's a rule that leads to and supports life. It doesn't restrict or crush freedom, right? Family. So in terms of that, increased contact with my son because he's in Edmonton, and I choose that. I want that. So that'll be a regular habit, and that's already been happening for a while. And more time with my girls, which will come up shortly as it relates to work. But as a student, you'll have to figure out what things you can slot in and what responsibilities you have at home. It means for me, and this is for you ladies, men, get ready. It means because my wife works, I make half the meals. I do half the laundry. I vacuum clean. Right. Restore. Okay, let's go. Next one, please. Thanks, buddy. Eat, sleep, move. Well, no, we'll talk about this another time. Play. Find something that is playful for you. You really enjoy doing it. Make sure you make that a regular rhythm in your life as a spiritual, physical practice. And giving. So keep tithing. For us, it is keep that. Keep supporting World Vision. Keep give as led by the Holy Spirit. So we would say in our home, and I hope we've said this here, that we're not legalistic about the tithe of 10%. But what I would suggest is it's a very good place to start. It's a very good place to start. Because we don't own any of this, right? It's 100% God's, all of it. So start there and say, okay, I want to give generously to my church family first, actually, for the ministry it does, for the staff that you have supported for years, and for the spaces we have to rent. And then look outside that. Start at 10 and give generously, because God is a generous giver. And Malachi says, dare me. Try to outgive me. Right? This is not a giving sermon, but it is a spiritual rhythm, a sacred rhythm to be in and have some thoughts about. Reaching out. So, that concludes work, justice, and witness. For me, I can do a 50, 60-hour week in a heartbeat doing what I do. Yeah, it might surprise you. But there's literally no beginning and no end to a pastor's life. Like, when am I not a pastor? So the phone has to be turned off. And there'll be times where you can't get me. That's okay. I know someone who can help you. Begins with letter J. I'm not him. Turn to him if you can't get me. Or turn to other friends that you've cultivated because you have an Enam Kara who can speak into your life. That said, I can't, for my family's sake, for your sake, I can't do 50, 60-hour weeks. I just can't do that. So there are boundaries around that now that are really specific in my rule of life around times I'm at work, times I have to be not at work. You may have the same sort of challenges in your own life as a student or as adults. Justice. Key concept for me in the reading was, there's so many good things we could do, right? There's so many things we'd say, oh, I'd love to participate in that. I'd love to do this. The key for me was the counsel coming from someone, a friend of Ken's, working at International Justice Ministries, who said, just choose one. Choose one. And pour your life into it. Now, that may change. But in terms of having rules that would support growth, if you have your hand in four or five of them, that's exhausting. Compassion, fatigued, whatever you want to call it. Choose one. Mine is Ruth and Naomi's. One of my inner circle friends is Corey. He knows things about me that I'd have to kill him if he told somebody. But that's okay because he knows Jesus and he goes straight to heaven. But I can't do that because I'm an Anabaptist and I don't kill. See the conflict in it? So, I love Corey. I love the work he does. I love the ministry of Ruth and Naomi's mission. So I'm choosing that for me personally. This is not my pastoral piece. This is me, Rob, saying I want to support my friend and doing what that ministry is doing. So I will see whoever comes on Thursday and we'll talk about that more. And witnessing, we could talk about this. This is a sermon series, by the way. This isn't, I've committed to praying for three people. I won't tell you who they are, but I've committed to praying for three people, and I pray for them regularly. Let's say two of them have the same last name as me. Okay, my rule of life is one page long. It's measurable, and it's very reasonable. I've pasted it into the inside page of, you want to know what this is, students? My day planner. Right? So I can see it, because I open up my day planner every day. I have given a copy to Jackie so that she can encourage me along the way and be aware of what I'm trying to do here. And I will say this. I don't keep this rule of life for myself perfectly. Can we just do this for each other by way of being gracious? We will never do things perfectly. We do everything we do imperfectly. It's okay. It's just, yeah. But please, pray that I would keep at it, because here it is. The payouts are this, and these are just thinking about it really briefly. The payout to having a rule that orders your life, that supports spiritual growth, for me, is this. I am finding that keeping this rule of life has brought balance in my life. It's startup in September for everybody. We just had a youth pastor resign. I have a son there, a daughter here. There's all kinds of things. I could lose it. I could be really overwhelmed where I'm at right now. But this brings balance so that I'm actually able to invest in things to say yes to some things and no to a lot. I think that for the first time in 14 years this week, I said to one of our leadership team people, no, I can't do that, actually. I need you to do that. There was this long pause. What? Yeah, there's too many things. And you need to be able to say that for yourselves, but to have a plan that will help you say yes to those things. It has brought energy for me, too. When you're able to say yes to the things you commit to say yes to, that you are called to do, that you feel you need to do, that you're good at doing even. And guess what? If you find yourself spending your time that way, it's energizing, right? And of course, the last payout to having this in place for me is that it's brought peace. I can't put too high a price on that. So how else might we envision moving our relationship along with God with the guidance and support of the Holy Spirit? So that was the first idea, rule of life. This is the second, a mission and a pathway. A mission and a pathway. So here's our mission statement at Crossroads. We talked about it last week. It's pretty core to who we are as a church family, and I like to think it's core for all of us individually. It is six words, and they are there. Follow Jesus. Love people, make disciples, short and simple. I think it goes like this. If we follow Jesus, if we follow him, if our eyes are on him, if we're imagining ourselves doing the things that he would do, I think we'll love people. I just think we will, because that's who he is, and that's what he did, and that's what he does. Then sort of making disciples, sharing our lives of faith with people who are on a journey of faith, speaking the gospel in relevant, sensitive, creative ways will be the natural and intentional outcome of a trellised, growing relationship with God. It just is. So what might that look like? Okay, so it might look like what we have called our cycle of discipleship, and you've seen this now for a couple of years, so I hope it's embedded in your brain. Right? So where know means coming to know God through Jesus Christ. Where grow means meeting with other fellows of Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus Christ in smaller groups to be challenged and encouraged. Where give means the classics, to give up our time, our talent, and our treasure to our Lord as participating members of a faith community, of a church. And where go means to go into our respective worlds, so school, work, family, friends, home, to share the gospel by the things we do, but also by the things we say. If we were to attach some of what we do, because we are who we are to be what we do as a church in our cycle of discipleship, it would look like this, Vanna. So grow, let's start with no, it would look like Kids Zone and worship. It would look like moving then. Grow would be midweek youth, YA, and on Mondays. And then M13 and M24, which I'll talk about shortly, which are the men's and women's ministries we're beginning this fall. We're moving into give. It is to set up. It's greeters. It's AV. It's all the teams that make this possible, including our Kids Zone staff out back. It is also our tithe, our giving, obviously. And then go locally and globally reaching out. So it would look sort of like this. I'm going to give you actually permission to take your phone out and go find our website. Now, what I'm told already this morning is your passwords aren't effective in the bulletin, so I'll have to check that out. They might be, but for some, it hasn't been effective. If you pull out your phone and pull up our website, that'd be great. And Patty is doing that for us so that we can walk through really briefly what's there for you. And that's how we'll end in terms of the cycle of discipleship. Can someone give me a shout out on the time? I can't. Oh, there it is there. 11:41. Okay. Oh, time. That's handy. But I'm not looking there usually, so that's good. All right, so our homepage, if you click there, that's good. If you click homepage, this is the homepage, actually. What you'll get there is a scrolling of the banners that we have for our church family. And it will scroll generally from children to youth to adults, or in terms of when those particular discipleship events are taking place. It includes the 2020 invite, which we'll talk about shortly, which we did last spring. It has our mission statement on it. It also has quick access to Sunday mornings, sermons, and staff. Get connected. Could you click there, please, Patty? Thank you. So this page basically is our frequently asked questions page, and a place where you or anybody visiting our page or who has come here would give feedback to us so that we can learn how to do things as best we can. What's happening is the next tab, thanks, Patty, is the page where you will find our upcoming ministry events, including what's going on with our youth, which is where it will principally be for the time being until I'll tell you that in a moment. It will also include, I think it's there, our neighborhood block party. Is that there? Want to scroll down, Patty, to see if it's there? Meet your neighbors. Yeah, was it there? Or you could, okay. Over, boom, shakalaka. There it is. This is a party. It's going to be just that. So I think I mentioned it last week. It is a blacklight obstacle course. It's pony rides. It's bouncy castles. It's a fire truck. It's nine square. It's train rides. It's pumpkin decorating. It's trike drifting. It's carnival foods, hot dogs, chips, bottled water, and ice cream as made by our own Alf Cookman and Dave Dick. It's going to be extraordinary. What I was able to do last night, actually, was confirm that we will also have our party opened by and closed by the Sardis Drumline. That's what I said, the Sardis Drumline. So that's because they're neighbors, right? So this is not for us principally. This is, as part of our discussion at leadership team, a chance for us to give you a chance to invite people into this space amongst these people as part of reaching out meaningfully, intelligently into our community. Our bet is that in this neighborhood, as leadership team, there are many folks who just drive in, garage down, go in, that don't actually know their neighbors. So shortly, and we'll figure out how to do this and we'll let you know, we will canvass this neighborhood and invite our neighborhood, okay, to this party that has all those things. I'm asking you to invite friends and family and neighbors to join us. There's a whole lot going on. We're going to have a very fun time. But it will require, and I think Lynn's around here somewhere right there, it will require your help. Lynn, Shirley, and I and others can't do it all, and I know that you'll help us. So Lynn will have a sign-up sheet on the way out that you can sign up and just be involved in however you might. There are lots of things. You can man one of those stations or woman one of those stations if you happen to be a woman. For like an hour, that kind of thing. From 5 to 6 or 6 to 7, two shifts basically. It's going to be awesome. Oh, yeah, here's some cool news around that party actually. That church right there, Sardis Community Church, is going to partner with us to host the party and to share the costs of the party. And the Salvation Army is going to bring their truck and they're going to cook for us. So this is a pretty cool deal. Ministries page then, Patty, if you would. Thanks. Awesome. Just updated this week, actually. There's new changes to it, though we will change those kids' own pictures. Because if you look carefully, that's got to be at least 10 years old. So we will update that very shortly. Cute kids, though. It's a page where, of course, you're going to find all of our ministries listed. Kids' Zone, Youth Ministry, Young Adult, Men's and Women's Ministry, Local and Global Outreach, which we have basically made out of missions and partnerships, and we've brought them together because they're sort of thematically the same. I'm going to highlight a couple things here and then move to the next. So Kids' Zone. Lynn has done a fantastic job already of overseeing Kids' Zone through the summer, for sure, and we are blessed to have her on staff. We have roughly 70% at my last count of our Kids' Zone staff in place at this point. So thank you, Crossroads. Please contact Lynn otherwise if you'd like to teach or to help teach in Kids' Zone, including our youth. This could be one of those ways that they say, I'd like to help out there. There'll be a training for all teachers and helpers at the end of the next month so that they don't go in entirely unaware as kids helping out. Okay, Lynn is also, by the way, the director of Friday Night Basketball at Chilliwack, and the registration is blooming nicely, and she would be looking to have maybe some of us volunteering in this gym, perhaps even to help lead or help out someone who would lead. This is an outreach of Athletes in Action into our community. It is basketball-centric. It's sort of like first steps for kids who are looking to explore basketball and whether they want to play it or not. And of course, in the middle of that time when they go from practicing skills to playing games and scrimmages, there's a cross-training time where we can pray for these kids that are from our community. It's very cool. So please see Lynn if you have an interest like that. Youth, what can I tell you? We are excited for another year of youth ministry. We have a fabulous volunteer staff. We have some great students, including now, of course, our grade 6 students. That's right. We'll meet every Wednesday evening for some midweek discipleship, which will include, as it has, at least for now, they'll include these elements, the social gatherings, but service, which we're going to be doing this Wednesday at Fraser Valley Gleaners, some topical teaching, which we have ideas about already as a youth staff, and some small group times for application and connecting meaningfully, like I talked earlier about. So just stay tuned to our website. As an update, after having met with leadership team 10 days ago and the youth volunteer staff on Monday, the church will be receiving applications until the end of September for 2 interim interns, one female and one male, to oversee the ministry and staff for a time period. We've made our need known to a couple different places, to our own youth staff, of course, but also to Columbia Bible College and to Mennonite Church British Columbia, our denominational headquarters, that we are looking for 2 educated and experienced young people to work with our youth approximately 10 hours per week, depending on their schedule. This will give us then as leadership team time to sort of discern what the next hire should be. We don't want to just rush into. We had already begun talking at leadership team level around what next hiring might be, so this will give us some time to do that. Looking to have that person in place by the latest, end of October. Because right now, I am overseeing that staff of youth volunteers. Okay. This is also a good time then to update you on where we're at with the afternoon adventures. I know a lot of you had volunteered or had said, I'm interested in that when we talked about it last spring in the 2020 invite. Our friend, the administrator here, Gabe D'Arcangelo, invited us to host an afternoon drop-in to serve 20 to 25 what he would call disconnected students here at Vetter Middle School. So we will be partnering with City Life Church, with Sardis Community Church yet again, and with Panago Pizza, who will provide a snack every Wednesday afternoon at no cost to either church. Though we might say we want to give you some money for that. It will be named VMS Hangout because that's quite a bit better than Afternoon Adventures, which actually works maybe okay for grade school, but maybe not so much for middle school. It will begin, so Wednesdays, and we will be shooting to begin in January. So we can take some time at this point to actually evaluate what's happening at 2 of our other middle schools locally, Rundle and Chilliwack Middle School, who are launching this program next month. Mm-hmm. So if you expressed interest in helping out, someone will call you shortly about that or contact you to help out. And if you otherwise think, okay, Wednesdays could work for me, and I love youth, and I like to help out. It is community-based. I get a chance to rub shoulders with kids who are somewhat disconnected, and I can encourage them. Then please call me. Mm-hmm. The last ministries I'll highlight really quickly are our 2 new ones, men's ministry and women's ministry, otherwise known as, for our purposes this morning, M13, W24. I'll tell you why they're called that. M13 is meeting on Wednesdays that are the 1st and the 3rd. Women's ministries are meeting on the 2nd and the 4th Wednesdays. More details will be coming next 2 Sundays, but I can tell you now that Jackie will be working with a group of other leaders. I'll be working with a group of male leaders to this very same end, actually, which is what I talked about already in our Rule of Life, to give men, to give women a chance to meet and build friendships of significance. Sermons, bet you know what's on that page. It's the page where you can stream or download our previous teachings. About is the page where you'll find our vision and mission, which are and links to several of our ministry partners, our history, our confession of faith, things like that. Contact, that's how you can get a hold of us. Prayer is the page where you are welcome to submit any prayers that you might have, and we'll get those. And give. You may be wondering how you might give to support the ministry and staff of our church. It's consistently in the bulletin, but instead of using that piece, I'm going to ask Patty if she would show us that wee tiny clip that we have used in the past. That's in the schedule, I think. There we go. It's such a happy little generic jingle, isn't it? Just makes you want to give. So if you are new here, and you cannot wait to give, thank you, then you can text Chilliwack Crossroads, as suggested, where you'll find us, then send that five-digit code, 77977, as a message, and then you'll receive a response with a link to give. If you can wait, you can give online by selecting the Give button that you will see, perhaps, if Patty brings our website back up. The Give button, you can select the top of our webpage where you can give online, or you can actually download our app by selecting the phone icon, which is also at the top of our page. That phone app, by the way, includes contact information, sermons, the ministry listings, Facebook events, our partner listing, and then, of course, the push pay for the giving piece and our prayer requests. Oh, and a Bible. There you go. Nice little Bible app there. Or, as the little jingle said, you can old school it by giving cash or check during our offering time. And if you're a real planner, you could sign up to give via pre-authorized debit, which is not mentioned in our little video, but the forms for that are at the back continuously, and Barb is the person to see if you want more information whose number is in the bulletin. Mm-hmm. This is a perfect chance, actually, to say thank you, church family, for being so generous. You're going to hear in a month's time, a little more, around 6 weeks when we do our annual celebration service, where we are at in terms of our giving and the ministries we've done, and you people crushed it. So thank you. Speaking of which, we will have a chance, and this is where I'll end, to say goodbye, and do you know what I mean by good luck? I don't mean like that chance. I mean blessings on Greg and his family. Two Sundays from this weekend, when they make a return trip from the island, I think Diana's heading over tonight actually to do some pre-painting of the home. Greg is on his own. He has all the kids. 6 kids, 1 person. That's a bad ratio. But we'll see him tonight at our Mexico team barbecue. Greg, that is. So as a leadership team, we're going to do some things that morning corporately to thank and bless them as a family. But you may want to do something personally otherwise, and you are welcome to bring it that day on the 30th, because afterwards we're going to have that barbecue where we can give those things over personally. What we're asking of you for that barbecue time, to thank Greg and bless them and honor them, is that you bring a side. Okay, so that could be, typically we go to desserts or salad, but it could be something else. Leadership team will provide the protein and the beverages. Fair deal? You bring the sides, We'll bring the beef. Let's end there. Homework. I want to invite you to consider everything we've talked about this morning. Those two pathways. So, rule of life, mission and pathway. About who you are as leading to what you do. And to discern what it is, what ministry this year, or I would suggest one, not a whole bunch, don't burn yourself out, that you might be engaged in to dive deeper in your relationship with God. Next week, we have the 2018 Mexico Team Reporting Service. That is going to be awesome. And as previously mentioned, 2 weeks from now, a baptism, at the end of which we're going to say goodbye and have a barbecue with the Dirksons. Let me pray.